Blog Talk Radio.
I saw something nasty in the woodshed.
Sure you did, but did it see you, baby?
Scott Enstra Network.
Scott Ensler Network. I'm Scott Ensler. I wanted to remind everyone again on KFNX in Phoenix. For the next couple months, I'll be doing shows on Sunday nights. If you happen to be in the Phoenix area, you can catch that from 9 to 10 p.m. Saturday night. And we cover a little bit of everything on that. Right now, I hit two main points when it has to do with the secrets of the military and those things of cyclotronics. And I posted the main one for cyclotronics on the homepage, but you can also catch those on YouTube at Scott Ensler Network. And so I encourage you to subscribe to that channel as well, so whenever I post something new, that can come out. And of course, on the main website, I had a question this week about Scott Bitkin that was a guest on our show a little while back, and in fact, I'll be having him back again. And there was four different one-hour segments on there, and of course, one of them had to do with an individual that was struggling with, you know, multiple personalities, alters as we call it, and then demonization. Now, with that infliction, that issue, that problem, is kind of what I'm going to cover tonight when it talks about truth or untruth and reality and unreality and those things of denial. In fact, I have WikiLeaks definition on that and post on the website, and so you might want to go to that. When you're in a ministry like mine, and you've done this for a while, you see a little bit of everything. There's times I shake my head that I don't believe what I'm seeing. I don't believe what I'm hearing. But yet here it is, and it actually, you know, once you see so many bizarre things, then, you know, as one of the chapters in my book, it's just another day in the office. So not much surprises me, but at the same time, you know, there's a little bit of reality check. If you're new, even some Christians aren't familiar with deliverance. I can remember a little over a year ago, I was going to have somebody on the show that was in the ministry of ministering to women who were considering abortion, trying to talk them out of it. And I was going to have her on as a guest, and when she had gone to my website, at the time, I was involved with Walking Among Spirits show. And so when the woman went to that, she absolutely fell apart, absolutely went bonkers. Said she had been a Christian since the 90s, had never heard of such a thing, blah, 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 and, you know, all these questions. And it was just amazing that she had no concept of deliverance. And obviously, I put that fault on the church, and as if you listen to me, you know that. Now, what is involved with deliverance? Well, many have a preset notion that it's something like that comes out of Hollywood for The Exorcist and some of the others, and admittedly, there's some pretty wild stuff. I mean, I've had some, you know, screams come out of here that if there had been an officer outside, he would have kicked the door down. And he would have been within his right because he would have thought somebody was in here being beat up, murdered, or worse, right? And that just happens once in a while. But in reality, deliverance is really coming together in agreement, understanding the power of of God, the Holy Spirit, through the blood of Jesus Christ, and taken authority over those things that cause people to be sick, cause them to have curses over them of poverty and a divorce and all the other issues, and just simply going before the Lord. That's really what we're doing. I stand in proxy. I acknowledge. I come in alongside my brother and sister, and I simply stay in agreement that the demons no longer have a right, after renouncing and confessing, order them to go. And if it gets, even more detailed, then I'll do an interrogation if I decide to have a manifestation. There can be manifestations that just happen, or I can force a manifestation. I don't necessarily always force one if things are rolling just fine and I've got a good idea what's going on. But sometimes there'll be, something hidden, something that needs to be revealed, and so a little bit of waterboarding the demons is necessary. Now, when I do this, I have absolutely no interest in what the demons have to say other than what I ask them. What is their name? What's their legal right? What other ones are in there that's under you, or what are you under? Some basic questions to help me navigate through the landmine of demons. Okay? Now, when things can get out of hand is if I allow the demon to get an upper hand, meaning that they get a little belligerent. Sometimes they'll start speaking in a demonic tongue. That's when I stand up and just put the kibosh on it. This is not happening. You will speak when spoken to. You are under my authority, okay? You do not let them have the upper hand. You don't let them get away with anything, like a child that pushes a parent to a breaking point. And I'm just simply bringing this up, that everything really is based in prayer. That's all. When you're praying, you're connecting with God. When you're praying, you're speaking into the spirit realm. When you're praying, you're exercising your authority. That's all you're doing. And so this preset notion that it's like the movie Exorcist keeps people from coming in. There's been several women over the past years that would never come in because they're scared to death. Well, obviously, their fear demons have a lot to do with it. Fear is in everybody. Fear is one of the first main entry points. It depends on how strong of a grip that it has. Some people are absolutely like phobias, gripped with fear. And you know this just because their behavior, as I've mentioned before, to avoid any pain, any conflict, any issues, in or retaliation of the demons, because they may actually be schizophrenia. They'll actually hear the demons. The demons tell them how ugly they are. No one loves them. How stupid they are. And they've heard it so long, they've bought the lie. Now, if you listened to last night's show, I talked about psyops. And so laid the basis out of that, but how it isn't just a military or government action, that it's all over the place, and it's a bewitching, it's a mental control, an MK Ultra, a attempt to cause an individual to do or think differently than they normally would under certain circumstances, so the evil can have the outcome that they want. That's really what it amounts to. And that's what demons are doing. They're pulling psyops on you all the time. They're bewitching you. They've got witchcraft on you. They've got their tentacles in your brain. They've got a hold of your third eye, meaning your pineal gland. And you see things. You think things. You may actually think you're psychic. You may think that you have abilities. And not denying what the Holy Spirit does, but this goes beyond that, that it actually crosses over into necromancy, familiar spirits. It causes you to think and see things that are not real. And that's kind of what I want to deal with tonight. So I'm just laying the foundation that in deliverance, it's really about prayer. It's about the understanding of who you are and that you have a job to do. And you go in like any surgeon, like any doctor. There's an object lodged in somebody's guts and somebody's brain, somebody's eye, and the job is to get it out without causing any pain, and for when it is removed that there is no long-term damage. Okay, that's also, by the way, a premise, an understanding of multiple personalities, of alters. Now, there's been, one of the reasons I had Scott Bicken on is because there'd been a denial, a misunderstanding about alters, where when you have a person who would manifest, they can manifest an alter, meaning that it's a multiple personality. Now, just as you heard, if you haven't heard the show, then again, you can go to the homepage at scottinser.org, and you'll see under Scott Bicken the four shows. And I believe it's the end of the first one or somewhere in the second show during the manifestation, the individual that is on the phone with us is going back and forth from the alter, the multiple personality, the wound, to the demon. And then the person would come up. So this this game that was being played by the demons was to throw everyone off track. You ever gone to Chuck E. Cheese's? You know, I've gone there with my grandkids, and they got this little game where this thing pops its head up through the hole, and you've got a mallet, and you try and bash it in the head, and then it pops up somewhere else. That's kind of what goes on here. You never know what's going to come up, and it's through discernment and through learning and training and time and having the Holy Spirit speak to you, who am I dealing with? Am I dealing with a demon? Am I dealing with a fallen angel? Am I dealing with a multiple personality? Or am I dealing with the core person who's just very hurt? Because if a multiple personality comes up, an alter, and I treat it as if it's a demon, you know, an unclean spirit, and I chastise it, I you know, beat it up pretty good, trying to get information out of it, I can really harm that person. Because that individual alter, the splitting of the mind, that hurt and wound, I end up doing more damage to that person. That's why it's very important to understand what you're doing when it comes to deliverance. That's why the right training, the right people, making sure that you're clean so you're not hearing demons telling you that it's something when it's not. Okay? Anything that goes against the word of God, then it didn't come from God. Okay? There's some really bizarre stuff out there. And I've seen some just absolute horrifying garbage over the years of so-called deliverance ministries, which then always taints this ministry. And that's what the devil's trying to do. He'll use individuals that are not clean, that are not ready to go, that have not got all the demons out, have not got all the wounds healed, and then turn them loose as some kind of deliverance minister. And that means then that there's a tremendous misuse. The Holy Spirit is grieved, and the individual is damaged. Bad place to be. Now, I encourage you that if anyone's out there and they have any questions, I've got the chat room up. You're welcome to throw some at me. I'm just kind of going to go back and forth here a little bit tonight. Now, on casting out demons, we see in Scripture where a woman was bent over and the demon came out. She was able to straighten up, and another one had blood issues, and demon came out, and that all went away. So you can have demons that cause infirmity symptoms. You can have demons of cancer. You can have demons of issues of respiratory and mental issues. And when you cast the demon out, those things go away. But you can also have the need for a healing. Now, the demons may have done so much damage over the years that there's healing required anyways. Maybe the kidneys are down to only operating on 10%, and because of alcoholism that has caused an individual to, you know, overtake and damage the kidneys and the liver and so forth. So when the demon comes out, you still have the remnant remains of what the demon did, and so then a healing is required. Same thing with the mind. Even though I get the demon out, that trauma those things they've been through, a healing of the mind, of the soul, of the spirit is still required. Okay, so this is why it's very important to go to a ministry that knows what they're doing. Okay, and like I said, you know, there's not that many around. I get people asking me all the time, you know, you even got a section on my website that tries to promote different ones. And over the years, I just haven't had that many that's been submitted to me for posting. And you know, what a shame. Because many of you are seeking deliverance. Many of you want deliverance. Many of you want to be set free. Your church doesn't have it, which should tell you everything you need to know about that church. Okay? Because this is a requirement of Jesus Christ. So that means the church is disobedient. That means the church is rebellious. And you know what? I don't care what a church thinks anymore. I don't care what they think. I know what is going on. I know that over the years that if, you know, I believe possibly thousands of people now have been healed through this ministry, at least affected to the point that they've made decisions to walk away from their sins so the demons can't continue their behavior. And they wouldn't have normally done that because the church never promoted deliverance, never told them that they could have demons. Now, that's another thing of denial, and I'm going to go over that too. So again, when it comes to casting out demons, then there can also be a healing required, being of both things, deliverance and healing. And, of course, all based in prayer. Period. You're speaking to God, okay? Let me get into this then now. I talked last night about the UFO project that the Pentagon implemented back in the 40s and 50s by hiring a science fiction writer, promoted him to like a colonel general, something like that, and put him in charge of disinformation. Otherwise, giving information to the public that these craft come from Mars and little green men, and then, you know, you've got the Orson Welles issue, and all this stuff that's been put in was to alter and change a person's thinking or set the stage for a belief system. Okay, the church creates a belief system. That's what doctrines are. It's a belief system, a belief in a certain theology, a certain order of things, but unfortunately, they don't always agree with the Bible. And because you're listening to a man instead of an elder board, then you're believing them and not verifying it as a good Berean against the Word. Okay? So in that belief system, then over time, like any lie that you hear long enough, you start to believe it. That's propaganda. Okay, so this whole form, again, falls under that psyops, as I was talking about last night. If you haven't heard last night's show, I encourage you to go listen to that. I put a lot of work and detail into it, and I think it explains it quite well. So in a sense, this is a follow-up. But when it comes to UFOs, unidentified flying objects, that's all that it means. It doesn't mean that you're seeing, you know, some kind of craft. It just means there's something you don't know what it is. Okay, and then what they've done is anyone that did see them, because they were going to see them, these are demonic. These are hybrids. These are either reptilians, and or the clone alteration DNA hybrid down to grays. Okay, it could be a combination of anything. Could be fallen angels flying these things, but one thing's for sure, that they're evil. Okay. Now, the U.S. military being in cahoots with the fallen angels all the way back, been doing this a long time, that these can also be military craft, these can be transporters. And I wanted to mention that when we see chemtrail spraying by the planes, you know, you think about this. You have a plane that has been flying across country in or whatever pattern they're doing. Who'd want to fly that? Who'd want to, you know, you're going to have a chemical splashback. You're going to be exposed to these chemicals. I don't care who you are. How many of you have been in a plane and you've had the fumes come in the plane? I mean, I've been in some planes getting ready to take off, and it's been horrible. And that means that that the individuals flying this, regardless of what they're wearing, if they're going to be doing this long enough, there's going to be long-term exposure. So some of the videos that I have seen has also shown that in reality, the plane you're seeing is not really a plane. It's cloaked. Okay, so you have the cloaking technology. You have those things that are of projection. And so it looks like a plane, but in reality, it's whatever the craft is. But is it a drone, or is it actually being flown by individuals or things? I'm going to take the stance that it's being flown by things, being flown by hybrids, okay, and or clones that if they get sick, they don't care. They don't have a soul. They don't have a, you know, it's just one less mouth to feed. They let them die. In fact, they probably execute them at a certain point in time. They're just robotic. And so they just fly these planes until they burn the people out or they, you know, whatever. So many of them, by the way, may just be under remote control and the pilot's just there to keep the machines running, because if you look at some of the chemtrail mechanisms, their pump systems, their mixers, their types of aeration that is designed to give the particular pattern, the right mixture, flow valves, all of those things have to be monitored in order to give the right chemical mixture of the chemtrails, just like anything. So somebody's got to operate that. Someone's got to make sure it's running. So I can assure you that those things are manned in some way or another. Now, why am I bringing that up? Well, the denial of chemtrails. Every day, every one of us sees a chemtrail. I don't care where you're at. I don't care where you're at. Now, there are some areas, Julie's mentioned that in hers, that she doesn't see it very often, which is very strange. Because here I am in Coeur d'Alene, Idaho, up in the panhandle, wedged up here between Spokane and Missoula, Montana, just below the Canadian border, and I see chemtrails all the time. I see them so much that I've seen 7 guitar strings in the air above us just in one day, in one setting, I should say. And then something always followed, like we had that high winds that were clocked up at over 100 miles an hour and did a great deal of damage. And just the day prior to that, that was the most chemtrail spraying I'd ever seen. And then we've had incredible storms after it. Snow that doesn't melt. You take a lighter to it, and we've done that. We've proved that. It just doesn't melt. And in fact, it actually smells like plastic when you're burning it. Okay, how is that real? How is that natural? So with the denying, the unbelief, the inability to see the reality that we're being asphyxiated, we're being poisoned, we're being dosed. And so here we are with millions of people in this country, in Congress, in the House, in the Senate, the executive branch, you know, all of them, regardless, before Obama came along, there's nothing being done about it. No one's doing anything. Oh, there's lots of talk, and you know, there's articles and YouTube videos and everything else, but it continues as business as usual. Now, the planes have to be manufactured. Boeing is just, you know, west of me here over in Seattle. Okay? Now, I'm sure that they're all different manufacturers of planes, but there's only really a handful that build the big ones. And so they've got to have their hand in it. Okay, Moses Lake isn't too far from me. It's kind of in between, and that's a test facility, airbase kind of thing for Boeing, where jets can come in and out that need serviced and things like that. So I'm sure that a lot of those planes come in and out of there, and they need to be refueled. And these chemicals need to be manufactured. They need to be blended. They need to be created, and the fuels or the liquids or whatever they're using have to be transported. So now you have Department of Transportation. You have international hazardous chemical transportation. Okay, so there's a trail, a understanding that these things are being done, but yet they keep doing it and nothing gets done. So are we talking about denial? Are we talking about a shift in reality? Because we've been so dumbed down by all the other things that they'll continue to get away with killing us, because that's what they're doing. This is a soft kill, ladies and gentlemen. They are poisoning us. Your children and your grandchildren. You know, chemtrails, I think, started to be really recognized in the 70s. At least I remember seeing them, certainly in the 80s, definitely in the 90s. And this has been going on a long time. And so I had some of my teenage years and my young adult years without it. But now the kids today, that's all they've seen. That's all they know. So when they look in the sky and they see chemtrails, to them, that's the way it is, when in reality, it's not. I can literally remember the first time that I saw a chemtrail and was shocked because, you know, the crystals that normally would form from the exhaust of the planes dissipate in a reasonable period of time, and now all of a sudden these things, you know, instead of giving, you know, like a cumulonimbus, they gave the cirrus cloud look, you know, they would blend and, you know, smear out. And I just thought that was really bizarre. Never thought much of it. And it was still even years later that we started hearing about chemtrails. So I'm saying that this is denial. We're not facing reality. And the reality is that these varmints, these hybrids, these reptilians, these evil people are getting away with killing us, and very little is being done about it. Again, the senators, the congressmen, all of them should be up in arms over this. And the fact that they're not tells you who they are. And in our denial of them not doing it is enabling them to continue with their behavior to get away with it. And nothing gets done. Now, no one gets away with anything. God says he will destroy those who destroy the earth or try to destroy the earth. But why do we have to continue this? Okay? So apparently we're in some kind of denial. We're not in we're not in reality. We are in some kind of nature of a mind control that does not take us to that next level. Now, when we come to demons, devils, okay? Devils, in my opinion, Some teachings would say that fallen angels are devils. I don't believe that. I believe that they're demons. I believe that the fallen angels are Nephilim. The term Nephilim then has reached over to calling the giants Nephilim, but it's really Raphaim or any other terms, but Nephilim basically covers that. So we've got demons, devils, and we've got fallen angels. And then on top of that, we got hybrids. We got clones. Okay, from there we go on to reptilians, we got grays, we got all these different things that in our society, we deny it. In our churches, we deny it. When these are facts, when the proof is out there in such detail on YouTube and some of the other websites, and many of the people that I work with here that come into the office have had the encounters. It's why they're here. They got freaked out. They got a demon in them from the fear. Something went wrong. Okay? So the supernatural or the spirit realm is one of the greatest deniability of the church. When you deny that these things happen, then just like the chemtrails where the Congress, the House, the Senate, the executive branch are denying it, then they continue in their ill behavior. So demons basically are running amok. They're running amok in churches. They're running amok in Congress. They're running amok in public. They're running amok in schools and in your home, in your businesses, and even in your minds and your bodies because you haven't been through deliverance. Because the spiritual warfare stance is not being done. Okay, so this is denying that they even exist. This is, you don't believe in it, so they're not real. You're not in reality. And so reality is that these things are real and that we need to address it accordingly, period. But by not doing so, we're enabling them to continue, I guess is really what I'm trying to point out here. Okay? Now, let me get into people that have personality disorders. Okay? Now, a personality disorder, you can have, let's say that, you know, like when I went to Taiwan, I would say everyone had a personality disorder. but in reality, it was culture. Okay? So what I thought, what I believed, what I knew, what I was used to was not happening there. Now, they were very nice people. They were very lovely people. They were very gracious and very kind and very, very respectful of me. And being an American, they just absolutely, you know, wanted to talk to me, and they just thought it was the greatest thing to talk to an American. But there are some things that they eat. There are things that they do that I think is insane. There's no way that I'd ever do it. And so my point in this is that we have to define what is irregular, what is a disorder, what is an illness when it comes to psychology. What is the psychological disorder? Okay, because what you can have is a commonality. And so, again, what takes place over there, we think is nuts, and then they think we're crazy. Okay? There's nothing like getting a demon manifesting that's not in its hometown. I can remember one time, I wasn't running a deliverance. I was sitting there while I was being trained, and a demon manifested, speaking wildly in Mandarin Chinese. And the individual that had the demon had done some traveling, and I don't remember the circumstance, but picked up a couple demons that were from another place. And the demons were really upset because, one, I don't think they quite understood we were going to send them to the pit anyways. I think they thought they were just going to be cast out. And people, don't just cast demons out, send them to the pit. And with that, what it meant, they were in the wrong neighborhood. You ever hear that joke, you got to watch? You must need a watch. If you had a watch, you know what time it is. If you knew what time it is, you know it's no time to be in this neighborhood. And that was exactly what took place with these demons. They did not want to be there. But again, we just cast into the pit. So it depends on where you're at. So now let's take a foundation of society. Okay, they're trying to make pedophilia. They're trying to make rape. They're trying to make different things that are unacceptable, period, to be common, to be normal, to be normalized, when in reality, that is a psychotic behavior, in my opinion, in your opinion, I'm sure, that is unacceptable because it injects, inflicts, and harms children, okay? Where these people can, in their minds, through their rose-colored glasses, the things that twist everything around, they actually believe they have a right and actually think they may even be doing good. Okay, so that makes them a dangerous individual. Now, when you have someone that has a personality disorder, we need to understand that this is who they are. Okay, now you can have demons inside a person that are influencing, that are pulling the strings like a puppeteer to make someone do this and do that. There can be pain involved, and so they're doing things to avoid the pain. We see this in borderline personality disorder. But when you have someone that has a personality disorder in itself, then you have somebody that is referred to as being hardwired. It's who they are. Okay? So if this is who they are, then it's very hard for them to change. The only way they're going to change is through the Holy Spirit. It's through the blood of Christ. Now, I can cast demons out of people. I can get them so they're not influenced demonically by spirits. That gives them breathing room, gives them a chance to become, to be able to think clearly, to not be in bondage, not to be directed towards a particular behavior. But it's still a choice. It all boils down to a choice. And it's also a choice on what we believe. So many people who are not in reality have chosen to be that way. You saw some of the pictures on Blog Talk there I've got where their head's in the ground. They're not listening. You know, they don't want to see. They don't want to hear, you know, the reality of things. One, it brings fear. Can bring issues of that, and then that fear demon can grip you. When it grips you, then pain comes in, the loss of hope. Okay, so when you cast those demons out, then they're no longer there to do that. Then a person can have their cognitive ability to think again, instead of cognitive dissonance. Right, just as we mentioned last night. So, again, when it comes to personality disorders, there's only so far you can go when it comes to deliverance, and the rest is up to them. That's part of the consecration. That's becoming a new creature in Christ, new wine and new wineskins. Get it? Get rid of the old man? All right? Now, when you have someone that is likes their demons, now that's a weird thing, right? Someone likes their demons. Okay, you can have demons who torment, and then you can have demons who actually cause pleasure. And or give the sense that they're gaining power. They have the demons befriended them, especially if the person's schizophrenic, they hear voices. Then the demon tells them, hey Joe, hey Frank, hey Mary, don't trust that person. Don't listen to that person. Listen to me. I've been with you since you were small. I've been with you since you were a little girl, okay? Now you have multiple personalities, you have alters that get mixed in with that, and now you really got double trouble because now you have a person who is split. Then their double mindedness plays against themselves, and now they don't know who to trust, and so they default back to the demon. Mm-hmm. Okay? So the Holy Spirit's always there. The Holy Spirit's always trying to pull you out. But this iniquitous pull is also pulling you back. And since God promised that he gives us all a chance, a way out, then from that point forward, we have to then say, yes, it was by choice. You saw right and wrong, yes or no, black and white, and you chose something that is going to be a long-term destructive to you. Now, where does that take us? Well, that now puts us in a position that in society, within churches, within relationships, within companies, within governments, we're now dealing with people who are destructive, who are unreliable, who have agendas, okay? And that agenda is to come in to steal, kill, and destroy because the devil's in them, okay? I can remember my mother saying they're full of the devil. And as a kid, I didn't quite understand it, but now I get what she's saying. She's right. They made a choice, and they did it demonically. And so when they come in, they are capable of doing things that do not make sense, show that there's no love of their fellow man, and put people in positions that they're being abused, they're being used, they're being lied to, they're being manipulated, they're being controlled, And unfortunately, that is also not just an abandonment, but it's betrayal. Because you've trusted somebody, you put them in a position to give them power over certain things and a job to do, and then you find out that they're not who they say they are. Happens all the time. Governments. I mean, we knew who Obama was, but look how many liberals and how many people who are brainwashed have come out of it now and go, whoa, what was I thinking? Right? Because this guy, the bewitching that came over everyone was so strong that they weren't able to see reality. And the reality was that he was rotten from day one. He's a liar. He's not a citizen. We believe he's not even human. And so here we have a government that's out of control with the past 8 years. Now, the Bushes, again, they're all part of the same, they came out of the same den of thieves. And so we've had all these years of destruction on the United States, going all the way back to 9/11, going, you know, back to the Patriot Act, everything in order to destroy the Constitution, to take away our rights, to disarm us, and to cast out and throw out the name of Jesus Christ. Because the moment that prayer, Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit is removed, you have only evil. And that is what has taken place. And it's been because of our denying. We haven't been in reality. We didn't see it. We didn't acknowledge it. We saw it, but we didn't acknowledge it happening before us. And we're all to blame for it. All of us. Now, what's the church been doing? Not even talking about it. Has the church been educating you about demons? No. Has the church been educating you about hybrids? No. Has the church been educating you about fallen angels? No. So then they slipped in under the wire. Well, not really. They came in the front door. They just marched right in. And they're laughing at us. You ever hear the term laughing all the way to the bank? It's exactly what these demons and fallen angels are doing. We gave them carte blanche. They just took it. Because we didn't do anything. Now, the few that were standing, the few that have been trying to sound the alarm, for all those years were beat up. All those years were called crazy. All those years were cast out, thrown out of the churches, labeled as conspiracy nuts, and or just either stupid or insane. And believe me, I've been in that category. It's not fun. It's not nice. Here I am all these years later. It's a little better, but yet the mainstream churches are still where they were 20 years ago. Nothing's changed. And now, as you noted, I talked about the psychotronic technologies, the microwave towers we have here now, all the stuff that is part of the brainwashing electronically through electronic means is now another massive hurdle to try and get over. Okay? Now, whenever you have somebody that's in denial and being held there by fear, they'll project onto you. Okay, what is projecting? Okay, let's say that you have a personality disorder and someone tells you to take a good look in the mirror and say hello to your worst enemy. Okay, so you go do that. You look in the mirror. You start to come to the understanding the evil, the bad, the wicked, the brokenness that you see before you, the image of yourself. And you then quickly change horses in midstream, turn that mirror around to the very person that told you to go look in the mirror, and now that ugliness, that evilness that was in the mirror is now reflecting on the individual that tried to tell you the truth, and now you've projected all of your hate, all of your denial, all of your sickness on that individual. It's their fault, their problem. Has the church done that? Absolutely. Have they focused it on Satan? No. Have they focused it on the true political issues out there? No. Okay. So projecting is very volatile. Projecting is very harmful because the individuals who are trying to tell the truth are the ones who then get victimized by it. They get hurt. They get wounded. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You tried to bring the truth out. I've seen this in businesses. And then next thing you know, you're labeled as a troublemaker. You got a chip on your shoulder. And all you're trying to do is bring the truth out. So there's a spirit of denial. That is a spirit of deception. A spirit of bondage. A spirit of bewitching. Keeping someone in a mental state, denying reality. You're in a matrix. You're in a facade. You're in some type of world that has nothing to do with truth. Now, again, that comes then the blame game. It's your fault. If you'd have just kept your mouth shut, how dare you? How dare you try and tell me the truth? You ever had that? Have you ever had that? I have. How dare you? And I've had people, how dare you not allow me to abuse you? Huh? You ever had that? Pretty weird, isn't it? That really messes with your head. Here you are trying to do something right, and next thing you know, you're being blamed for trying to set the record straight, and now judgment is being placed upon you. You're being judged. You are the wicked one. You're the mentally ill. You're the insane. Happens quite often, actually. So this behavior is psychotic. Okay? It has nothing to do with truth. It shows that there is a sickness of the brain. And our country, the world, Britain too, boy, British Britain's the psychotic medications they're on is like, what did I say, 46%, I brought the numbers up, are on some type of psychotropic drug. Holy smokes. That's some pretty bad stuff. Well, God was removed. Jesus was removed. Even Catholicism has collapsed. And so demons are literally running amok there. And mental illness is an all-time high, and witchcraft is commonly practiced on the streets. That's actually the new religion there, witchcraft, which again falls under mind control, which again is you know, bringing a thought process, a bewitching, a programming, a mind control, MKUltra, Monarch, whatever you want to call it. That's basically what it is. And so Europe in itself is in this great denial that they're not even in reality. And with them being bombarded with all the immigration, what a terrible thing to do to these people. You know, see, as soon as you remove Jesus Christ, you remove the covering. As soon as you take away the blood, there's no protection. As soon as you eliminate prayer, there's no defense. Remember I mentioned how they didn't just come in out of the wire, they came in the front door? That's what happens. Now, Julie and I have talked about what's coming. I've written about it in my book, Second Heaven Invasion. And it's not a pretty sight. And I'm not trying to bring fear, I'm a realist. I need to hit the problem straight on. I need to address it as necessary. And so with the hybrids, with Dulce there in New Mexico, the underground facilities, Area 51, and some of the others with the underground hybrid experiments and multiple, you know, Washington, D.C.'s got it. They're all over the place. This underground network of systems, we talked about Walmarts, that when the doors open up on these things and these things come flying out of there, by the millions. Okay? Demons are one thing, but now you've got creatures that have no soul. They are an abomination. They're pre-programmed. They're going to be hungry. They'll be self-sustaining by our blood, and it's going to be mass genocide of everybody. So if you happen to be listening and you're of the new age, if you happen to be listening and you're actually a sorcerer or a witch, if you happen to be listening and you're a bondservant of Jesus Christ, we're all in the same boat. These things will not make a distinction between who's who. They will steal, kill, and destroy. Now, many of the reports that I've seen with troops that have been on trucks, on transporters from one place to another, that as people got a chance to get a look at them when they go by, I've heard everything from dog face to a pale, sickly white, like a bunch of clones, but nobody had any souls. There was no emotion. Everything about them was evil. These are soldiers seen right here in the United States. Over and over and over again, the reports. They're here. Those are the soldiers, which will probably be the ones that will be doing the mass harvest of those individuals left over. Whatever they're going to do, it's going to be in different successions, okay? And so we're going to, I'm going to look up a little bit more about what I think is going to come. But obviously, one of the first things they're going to do is gun confiscation. So the troops will be doing that. And then once everyone's disarmed and you have the people that are renegades, so to speak, or the ones that have gotten away, the ones that they weren't able to obtain, that they're still out making a stand, that's when they'll let these creatures go. They're going to be like bloodhounds. They're going to smell, you know, fee, fi, fo, fum, I smell the blood of an Englishman. Ladies and gentlemen, that's real stuff. They're going to sniff you out. I don't care where you're hiding. And they're hungry. That's terrible. But I think we need to face the facts. That's why I'm talking about this tonight. That to deny, look, again, just read the book of Revelation. And again, how can we not understand that all hell breaks loose? We see the beasts of the field, okay? The beasts of the field come in and come after man. Okay, that's everything from a fox to a coyote to a wolf to a mountain lion to a bear to all these other creatures. All of a sudden will turn on us like rabid animals. Now, are you in Christ? Are you a bondservant? Have you turned your heart over to Jesus? Are you obedient? Have you repented? Are you walking the line? Will Jesus recognize you? Does he know who you are? Are you in a relationship? That's the whole goal of this ministry. That's all that I'm trying to do. Everything, you may not agree with what we talk about, you may not understand, you may not think it's correct or true. All I'm trying to do is get you closer to Christ. Because without Jesus, you're going to perish. Without Jesus, you're going to experience the second death. Without the blood of Christ, you're going to be thrown into the lake of fire. It is that simple. And by the church not telling you what's going on, I can only conclude that they're part of this. I'm sorry. I smell a rat. Something's up. Now, only got a few more minutes here. Whenever I cast a demon out, I have to get the individual to repent, to renounce, to confess, to ask for forgiveness. And by doing this, I have canceled, dissolved, eliminated, lift, closed anything of a stronghold, anything of a legal right that demons have for harassing the individual. And sometimes I get people who come in who don't tell me everything. It's unfortunate that, you know, I wish I had more women working here, because sometimes I understand that women they don't like talking to a man. Now, I've been fortunate that I think that most women are fairly secure and comfortable in speaking to me, but when it comes to a really in-depth sexual issue, they still are very reserved about telling me that. And the end result is they go home with their demons. I may get rid of a bunch of them. I may get rid of a couple layers. I may get rid of this and that. But unfortunately, they still go home with that grouping because they didn't confess. They didn't reveal to their brethren. They didn't renounce. They didn't ask for forgiveness. So where are you at? Where are you at in your walk? Who are you? Are you like the one that I described having a multiple personality, a personality disorder? Have you completely surrendered to Christ? Are you a Berean? Are you searching the scriptures daily? Do you test the spirit? Do you verify everything to the word of God? Or are you like the ones who are infected with Kundalini spirits in the church and anything goes? Anything goes. That's a bad place to be. That's how the devil comes right in the front door. Now, we talked about grave sucking. We talked about the Kundalini. We talked about the fire tunnel. We talked about being careful about laying on of hands, being careful who lays hands on you and who prays for you, who speaks to you. I won't let anyone do it unless I know who they are. Because I don't want any transfers. I don't want anyone cursing me. If some of you who are listening were listening, I don't know, maybe 6 months ago, somebody called me from the Philadelphia, New Jersey area, across the waters there, that when I answered the phone, they were sacrificing an animal. I don't know what it was. They had cut its throat, and it was gurgling. And in the back, I could hear the witches. All right? Now, whatever they were doing, it didn't stick. And I don't remember if it was that night. I don't know if I was doing a show every night then, but I immediately, as I did the show, I didn't give anybody any chance because I know they were listening. So I started in on warfare, and some of you might remember that. And I went and I kicked some rear ends. How dare you? How dare you try to harm a child of the Most High God? How dare you try to curse a man of God? How dare you try and destroy a bondservant of Jesus Christ? You need to understand your worth, ladies and gentlemen. You need to understand that you have a job to do. You need to understand that you've been called to fight. Because the life you save may be your own. And without you, what about your kids? Without you, what about your grandkids? Gentlemen, without you, what about your wife? Very important to understand that we truly are in a battle. And the only way out of this is straightforward, not to turn and run. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Christ who lives in us strengthens us, gives us the power, gives us the authority to stand against the wiles of the enemy, because he was given all power and authority. And just like he gave the apostles, referring to in 18 and then all the way into Matthew 28, the Great Commission, that in that we are to move forward, casting out demons, healing the sick, setting the captives free, making disciples of all men, preaching the gospel, prophesied in Isaiah 61. It's that simple. All right, I'm just trying to get it through to you that, and I know a lot of you get it. I'm just, there's some new listeners, and so you need to understand what's truly going on. The church has done you a great disservice. They have not cast your demons out. They have not broke the curses over you. They have not taught you can have demons. They have denied it. They have put you in bondage. The mainstream churches. And there will be accountability. God will hold them responsible because they are disobedient. They're willfully in bed with the devil. And how terrible that is, that you are the one who suffers. You're the one with the curses. You're the one with the demonization. You're the one that then perishes before its time. And that was never God's plan. So as you move forward, as you understand who you are, and you stand in that authority, you can take back what the enemy has stolen from you. You can break that generational curse so your kids don't have to suffer the way you did, and or suffer because of your sins. Who wants to curse their kids? I mean, there's some wacko people out there that do that, that know they're doing it. I had someone the other day that their mother had cursed them, had put something into their brain. I couldn't believe it. And the power of God removed it. So just understand that because of who you are and the times that we're in, that you're a target, and you don't have a choice. You've got to fight. See, that's it. You can't just go, oh, well, no, it didn't work that way. All right, again, reminding everyone on Saturday night for KFNX in Phoenix that I'll be on between 9 and 10 Mountain Standard Time. All right, well, I'm done with Tuesday night here. Tomorrow night, Julie and I are going to pick up where we left off, And again, I want to thank everyone for supporting this ministry. I think this is show number 210. It's a lot of shows, a lot of hours. Maybe not as many hours as some of the ministries out there, but again, this is a full-time ministry here for praying and casting out demons, so we've got a full schedule. Oh, mention too that I'm behind in my emails tomorrow. I hope to be caught up on that. I definitely will for Thursday. Some changes here, so I'm just kind of tied up. And so I'm going to get to you. Just be patient, okay? Because sometimes it's overwhelming as many emails that comes through. All right, God bless everyone, and good night.